Chris and Kira.
I'd rather put my nipples in a pencil shop.
Sunday to Thursday from 10.
On 2FM. FM.
Yeah. God, I'm so fickle. Because I was just listening to that track and I was like, I love this track. And I remember when it first came out, I was like, rubbish.
Nope. What a crap. Don't
track.
Like it.
Such a crap direction.
Whiling.
What's he at?
Why is Paul McCartney there? Yeah. Yeah, now I remember.
And now it's great. Now I think it's a really good track. So there you go. That's Rihanna, Paul McCartney, some guy, and Kanye West with 4 or 5 seconds here on 2FM. Right evening, everybody. What's going on? My name is Chris, and this wonderful, illustrious woman, her name is Q.
Hello.
I decided to put a new adjective in there.
Thank you.
Kind is that an adjective up. Or a pronoun? I don't know.
Chris, I need to warn you about something.
Me?
Yeah.
What?
I had something to eat earlier on that I put in the microwave. Okay. And when I came out of the microwave, I was like, that smells kind of funky. But you know what? I was so hungry. I had about 3 or 4 mouthfuls of it anyway. Until I realized, nah, Kira, this isn't right. So I'm kind of sitting here and I'm not quite sure how I'm feeling.
Oh, here. Well, what was it? Was it meat?
Now, here's the thing. I didn't go near the meat. There was a little voice in the back of my head going, don't eat the chicken, Kira.
But what
don't
did
eat
you
the
eat?
Chicken. I ate rice and juice and veg.
Ah, of a chicken that you thought smelled funky.
Of a chicken dish.
Right. That's still really not good.
Really?
No. How many bites did you eat?
4.
I love how you took a bite and were like, I don't know, maybe. I'll have another bite or 3.
Because I was so hungry, Chris.
Which you just made sure by having 4 bites.
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting. Stay away from me.
Yeah, so that I just, you know, just in case I projectile vomit or anything like that.
But we know how we had this fight about how you ate that cookie off the floor, basically. Mm-hmm. Or off the desk. You have really bad hygiene. Like, that's just what it is. Eating chicken that you think
how
has gone off.
How have you turned the fact that I ate 4 mouthfuls of food that I thought gone off into having bad hygiene?
Because
it's not a good way to start off the show. And also, Chris, it's not a very nice kind of view to give of me on air.
But if you thought it was gone off, surely maybe the thing to do was not eat it.
Probably. And yeah, I did eat the rest, but I threw it out.
After 4 bites.
Yeah.
I only injected a bit from that used needle. Like, not much. Like, I pushed the syringe down like halfway and I was like, no, do you know what? No, this is a bad idea. Anyway, apologies.
I was just giving you a warning.
Yeah. Sorry, a big thanks to Louise, of course, as well, for the last 2 hours. We got distracted with that interlude there. Kira's... You're living life on the edge, woman.
Am I, though?
You have a death wish. All right, here's what we're going to do. How about this? A very busy show for you tonight. Moral Dilemma on the way after 11 o'clock, where we get an odd court case or a legal issue from around the world and give you our judgment on it. However, between now and then, another wonderful installment of Kira's Diary. And in about 3 or 4 minutes, friend of the show, Brian M. Lloyd, is going to be in studio with us. He is, in my opinion, Ireland's finest film critic / film director / movie guy. There is no better than him. And he comes in every week. And you should listen to his opinions on films, because he's one of the few people in Ireland who gets paid for his opinion on that kind of stuff. So he knows what he's talking
exactly.
about. So he's on the way in a second.
Also, he has great hair.
He has very nice hair.
Oh, his hair is fabulous.
I would like to go to his barber. I think it could be
you
time
walk
for
in
an
and be like,
image
can I get
change.
The Brian M. Lloyd, please?
Yeah, imagine. You know the way in the 90s people wanted the Rachel because
yeah.
of Friends? You get the Brian M. Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, how about this? We'll play some Teo Cruz and Kylie Minogue with Higher, and then we'll come back. And we'll get everything going. 9:09, this is 2FM. Good evening, everybody. Teo Cruz with Kylie Minogue Higher here on 2FM. Did you enjoy that song, Kira?
I did.
What did you think of that, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was fantastic.
I love Kylie Minogue's All the Lovers. That's my favourite Kylie Minogue song.
My favourite Kylie Minogue track would be either Can't Get You Out of My Head,
mm-hmm.
or do you remember that one she did? I can't remember the name of the song, but it was the video where she was in a car and was all sweaty and then she got out of it. And I can't remember the name of it.
That sounds good.
Oh, shit, what was the name of that song?
So she was in a car and she's all sweaty.
She's all sweaty and then she's all, like, dancing and it's like...
It's not spinning around.
No, it's not spinning around, although I do love that as well.
Okay.
No, hang on.
Sorry, this is important.
Yeah, that's it there. Red Blooded Woman. That's it. Red Blooded Woman.
This looks good.
Yeah.
Sorry. Before we get down to business and when Brian does the film, you know, reviews and stuff, we do have to look at Red Blooded Woman from Kylie Minogue. This looks like it could be something. Is this from a few years ago?
It's from like a few years ago. Yeah, it's filled though. Yeah.
I've not seen it. Oh, I am. Sorry, that's pretty sexy.
Yeah, you see
sexy.
It there now. Yeah, look at that.
Oh, stop.
Wow.
Oh.
She's an incredibly sexy woman.
Oh, she is a very, very sexual woman.
Yeah. She's very limber. Look at that.
Great, though.
Oh, she is, yeah. I mean, sorry, the song is good, too.
The song
is
good as well, but the video just makes it.
Absolutely is. Well, look, how is everyone? What's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Kira.
Hello.
And joining us in the studio is friend of the show, Mr. Brian M. Lloyd. Let's give him a big round of applause. He is in every week because Brian gets to go to all of the film premieres ages before we get to see them. I mean, Brian gets a real inside track on what's going on in the film world. I mean, sometimes he's blindfolded, he's brought to these dark, smoky rooms with projectors, and he is shown the films, some cases weeks before they're even out. So Brian knows what's going on. He comes in every week. He tells us what we should be seeing, what we should be avoiding, you know, the usual. Mm-hmm. And of course, his Twitter is at Brian M. Lloyd, at Brian M. L-L-O-Y-D. Go online, give the man a follow, you won't regret it. He comes, regret it. This is serious. He comes highly endorsed, and I think we should all, you know, go online, give him a follow. But Brian, I know we can't do anything until we've done your theme.
Oh.
So.
Thank you.
Let's do that. Here we go. Yeah.
Now we can proceed.
Exactly. So, Brian, obviously we'll get to the film quiz in a moment. I get nervous around now. Knowing that the film quiz is coming.
It's like a fart, isn't it?
You know it's on its way.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about
and
it.
And you're just kind of sitting on it.
Yeah, and you're kind of scared and you're trying to make sure no one hears. And
lads, please don't ruin the movie quiz for me.
I'll be very anxious. But look, before that happens, Brian, you are always watching new films before they even come out. What have you seen for us you can tell us about?
The first one I have is Tomorrowland World Beyond. This is the new one with George Clooney and it is really, really good. It's this kind of like, okay, do you remember a film called Escape from Witch Mountain?
I can't say I do.
No.
Sorry.
Do you remember a film called The Rocketeer?
I'm not being smart. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it's basically this kind of sci-fi film from Disney. And basically what's going on is, if you could imagine a world, right, where the likes of like Edison and Tesla and like all the geniuses of the world decided to get together and create this kind of parallel universe where, you know, the greatest and the brightest minds built whatever they want.
Like utopia.
Precisely like a utopia. Well, that's what's happening here. George Clooney was cast out of it like about 20, 30 years ago because he invented something that he shouldn't have invented.
Oh, what did he invent?
Sexiness? Maybe Swag. It was mutton chops? I don't know.
He invented those little coffee pod things. And they were like, we're not having these in this country.
I hate those things.
He was like, get out of here.
Have you ever tasted them?
Yeah, Brian, they're lovely.
They taste like burnt ass.
What's wrong with you?
They're horrible.
Do you only get your coffee from artisan places in Dublin?
No, not at all. I'm just saying, I've tried those things and they're crap.
They're better than instant coffee.
Well, like anything is better than instant coffee.
All right,
like if we're going to get into this. Sidetracking. But yeah,
he's the main character. Is it animated or?
No. Like it's all done live action or whatever. But interestingly, he's not the main character. The main character is this newcomer called Britt Robertson.
Okay.
And she discovers this pin, which kind of acts as a portal to this world. But the portal kind of runs out and then she has to find George Clooney and then she has to try to find a way back into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by a guy called Brad Bird. Now, you may not know him, but you definitely know some of the films he did. He did Ghost Protocol. He did Ratatouille. He's like Disney. He does all Pixar and all the rest of it. And it's written by a guy called Damon Lindelof who did Lost. So it's that kind of like weird conspiracy theory. You know, what if everything wasn't what it seems?
Sure.
God, I always think that everything isn't what it seems. So this sounds like the movie for me.
It's really, really cool. Like there's one big sequence in it where they go to the Eiffel Tower. Now, I don't want to ruin it for you, but it will... It's one of those scenes where it's like, that's exactly, wow, I've always thought that.
Okay.
And like, that's when it's happening, it's like, that's why that always looks like that.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So like, it's something like, obviously we're not going to ruin the film, but something like it's a backdrop or like it's a painting or it's a hologram or something
I
know what
it.
You mean.
You'll
I know
see it. I
don't
want to ruin it, but you will see it.
It's one of those Matrix style things where it makes you look at the world differently.
Yeah. Now, when you say Matrix, like, I mean, this is like, it is a family friendly film.
This is the Matrix for kids.
It's the Matrix for kids, more or less.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's actually a pretty good description, actually.
Fair. You can use that, Brian. I give grant permission for you to use it.
That's the Matrix for kids.
That's actually surprisingly astute.
Well, look, there you go.
And I don't mean that in a condescending
man.
Way.
No, I'm an astute man. That's dead right. Well, look, Brian, a few questions. Obviously, we need to get to the important questions. Is it in 3D?
No.
You
I didn't
see
so.
It in 3D.
I didn't see it
anyway,
in 3D.
And
no.
It didn't take away from it.
No.
It was still a great film. Out of 10?
I'd give it about a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. Is there any nudity?
There is no nudity.
At all.
It's like PG-13.
Oh, wow.
So.
Well, that obviously, is that why it lost the marks?
No. The reason why I take away the marks is just some parts of it are a little bit kind of like... okay, that doesn't make sense at all. You know, that kind of way. There's just certain parts of it. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, it's about parallel universes and all the rest of it. So it is going to be kind of stretching the bounds of reality. But there are certain aspects when you're kind of like, that doesn't make sense.
This is interesting about George Clooney. This is like the second movie now that he's done in a while where he's not the main character.
Yeah, because Gravity as well was like that as well. He was just kind of a secondary character. I don't know, like maybe he's just at that point in his career when he's like, you know what, I don't need to
be I've won all my Oscars. The Hollywood heartthrob. People love me. George Clooney.
But then I'm going to go again. So I'll show up, do a few days, you can give me a check and then I'll go home.
I'll go.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Isn't that great? Isn't that what we'd all want?
So 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, worth
How long is it?
It is 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Ooh, that's very long.
All right, that's tolerable though if it's a good film.
It is a good film.
We're pushing it though at 2 hours, 10 minutes.
You are a little bit. Yeah.
Like, okay. Come on now. All right, well look, especially for this generation, we can't keep our attention span for more than 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, through Twitter or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, but look, tell you what. So there you go. It's out this Friday,
Out this Friday.
What's it called?
Tomorrowland, A World Beyond.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Mm. I'll tell you the possibilities. Well, there you go. Tomorrowland, World Beyond, George Clooney and Britt, whatever. What's his name?
Britt Robertson. No, it's a girl.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, girl. Yes. And out this Friday.
Females in movies too, Chris.
I know. I mean, in legitimate movies, not just pornography. Like legitimate, proper big films. Yeah. Very odd. Yeah. But anyway, look, Brian, how about this? Mm-hmm. How about we get down to some serious business? We're going to do the film quiz.
Okay.
Now, as I said earlier, I'm nervous. I'm always nervous. I always get a certain sense of dread before we do this. So, Brian, how is this week's film quiz going to work?
Okay, I have 5 audio clips. They are musical, and I need the name of the film and just the name of the film.
So we can't shout out the name of the track?
You cannot shout out the name of the track. You can't shout out the name of the artist.
That's okay. Fair enough, though.
I just need the name of the film.
Whoever gets the name in first, is it?
Okay. Precisely.
Either this is a film quiz or it isn't, Brian. So I'd agree with you there. Should be strictly based
on
the film.
Straightforward now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Chris, no, none of that now.
None of this messing. I am ready. Kira, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to hear the first clip. What film is this from? Here we go. Oh God. I do know this.
I know this too.
Oh, Jesus.
It's from a film, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a TV show.
Nope.
Is it a horror?
Yeah. Some may argue one of the greatest horrors ever made.
Chris.
Okay.
The Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
That's wrong, damn it. I always know when Brian has... I know when Brian is suppressing his anger when I say an answer. All right. That's really annoying. All right, here's clip number 2.
Kira, I thought you would have got this like straight away.
This is a great song.
Yeah.
When we're older, and if we work on like RTE Gold or something, this is what we'll be playing. Yeah. I have no idea. Kira?
No.
And that's from a film. That's a soundtrack from a film. Jeez, we're doing badly tonight. Here is clip number 3. What film is this from?
I know this.
Oh,
Kira.
So the, Kira.
Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
5 seconds.
Secret Garden.
I need the film.
You need the film.
Oh, I'm thinking of
9,
Philadelphia. Chris, don't
8,
count me down.
7,
do not count me down.
We could spend all evening here.
I'm thinking of Philadelphia.
5,
Secret Garden is 4, the name. It's from a rom-com. Am I right in saying that? It's a Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you're...
Okay, fair enough.
You were... I
You've
know,
got mail.
Oh.
It's You've Got Mail.
No, I said, was it a Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie? And it's not.
It's You've Got Mail. It's
and then I was getting mixed up Tom Hanks and Philadelphia and Antonio Banderas.
So you don't know is the answer?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, here's clip number 4. These are all from films.
Yeah.
Brian's
like
jigging around.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this actually.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
getting into the funk of this too.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, this is good. I'm going to say American Psycho.
No.
All right. Kira.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay. Nah. Well, here's clip number 5. Jesus, this is the worst we've had in weeks.
Bad.
Ooh,
Kira.
Okay.
It's Audrey Hepburn.
9, 8, 7.
When's this timer thing started?
No,
all
but
of a sudden?
As in, so you can just shout your name and then we'll spend 15 minutes going through like.
15 minutes?
The actors.
That's not fair.
Okay, well, you've had
Breakfast
15 seconds so far.
Okay, you have until the clip ends.
I said Breakfast Tiffany's, which obviously isn't.
Oh, did you? Did
yes,
you say Breakfast
I did
Tiffany's?
Say Breakfast
oh, sorry,
Tiffany's.
Okay, all right.
So that's what Kira's saying. Going That's actually a good rule, Brian, to have until the clip ends.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Because they're all 30 seconds.
At least Brian's keeping a bit of order in here. Jesus. What? The place would be in chaos otherwise.
Oh, thank I'm you, sorry.
Brian. No, thank
the,
you, Brian.
The counting, this new kind of...
No,
I don't
it's
know
not a new thing. You've pressured me whenever I shout out my name and don't know the
that's
answer.
That's not fair, though. You start counting down from 10 straight away.
Because you do this monologue thing.
No, I try and help you.
Me?
But I do the monologue thing, Chris, so that'll help me get to the answer of the actual
clip. Sure, we could spend a minute or two each.
Just park it here for a second? Because okay. I'm feeling a bit of tension, you guys.
Final clip, Chris.
That was it.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well.
That was the worst film quiz we've done in a while.
Oh, well.
That was awful. As in, we were awful. Those were good clips, but Jesus, we were poor. Friend of the show, Brian, is in, okay? Mr. Brian M. Lloyd, of course. He's a film director. He's a film critic. He is on the 7 o'clock show on TV3 every Monday doing his thing, looking very cute. He's also in here with us every Wednesday. He is, of course, the film editor with entertainment.ie, and his Twitter is at Brian M. Lloyd, at Brian M-L-L-O-Y-D. Go online, give him a follow, all right? It's as simple as that. Now, Brian, you come in every week. You tell us about new films that are coming out this Friday. Sounds like a home run this Friday.
Yeah.
What is it?
It is Tomorrowland, The World Beyond with George Clooney. If you like kind of weird sci-fi films, but that are, you know, family friendly and all the rest of it, this is worth watching. If you like Escape from Witch Mountain, if you like The Rocketeer, if you like those kind of like 90s Disney action films, this is worth watching.
This is for you. Brilliant.
There you go, out this Friday.
Yeah.
And it sounds pretty cool. Brian gave it 7.5. If Brian gives a film a 7.5, it's worth watching.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is definitely worth a watch. Absolutely.
I think anything over a 6 from Brian is worth at least giving a try. Mm.
Give it your attention.
Exactly.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, to other pressing business. Every week, we also do a film quiz. Brian, what was the format of this week's film quiz?
I had 5 audio clips and I needed just the name of the film that it was used in. So I didn't need the name of the song. I didn't need the name of the artist. I just needed the name of the film, and there was 5 clips. And
let's have a listen.
We did really badly.
We did poorly.
You did pretty poorly.
Here's clip number 1. I said... Mm-hmm. That it was the Silence of the Lambs, didn't I? It's
you
The
did.
Shining, isn't it?
Nope.
It's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nope.
It's Paul Blart Mall.
Poltergeist.
Nope.
Exorcist. It's The Exorcist.
Nope.
What
Carrie.
Is it?
Nope. Keep going.
I've run out of horror movies.
Halloween.
Oh.
Alright, okay.
Alright. Damn, that was the only one I hoped to get right. Okay. Well, I'm not getting that. This dream isn't happening for me this week. Alright, here's clip number 2. Is this Miami Vice or something?
No. Not even
close. I don't know. Hugh, did you give an answer for this?
No, I didn't know.
Do you remember that film with John Cusack when he holds up the Say Anything?
What was the movie?
Say Anything.
Oh, okay.
Everyone knows this song, though.
Yeah, it's great.
There we go. All right, fair enough. Here was clip number 3.
Ah, so nice.
Yeah. Napoleon Dynamite. Is that it?
Okay, so this was from a rom-com.
It was. I'm surprised you didn't get it.
Oh, I know. Sliding Doors.
No.
Notting Hill.
Notting Hill.
Is it Notting Hill?
You're in the right area. Go on.
Sliding Doors, Notting Hill, Love Actually.
No.
Bridget Jones.
Wow, no. Chris knows a lot more rom-coms than I do.
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Can't believe you haven't said it yet.
Okay, give me a hint.
God, Reese Witherspoon.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Jerry Maguire.
Okay.
Oh wait, no, that was
Jerry Maguire.
Renee Zellweger was in. Okay. I always get them mixed up. Renee Zellweger.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
The Show Me the Money film.
Yeah, it was
Show
in Jerry Maguire.
Where he's the sports agent.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
Right, that's not a rom com.
That is a rom com.
Kind of is in a lot of ways, but anyway.
All right, here's clip number 4. I said American Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Brian, I actually have to say, Brian's grooving to this, so am I. Yeah. You're kind of infectious.
You kind of got it.
Give us a clue.
Jack Nicholson.
Like, I bet if you're listening now, you're nodding your head to this in the car,
right?
Or whatever.
Right?
Or you're in bed and you're bopping along to this in work.
I have no idea.
Prince.
Okay, Brian, no.
The
Batman.
Departed.
Batman.
Oh, Batman.
Would not have associated that with Batman at all.
You know, Prince did the soundtrack for like the first Batman.
There
Which one? Batman?
The first one, the one with Michael Keaton.
Fair enough. Well, Jesus, this has been
this
a bad run.
This has been bad.
Kira, I think you might have gotten this clip, and otherwise this is a 0-for-0 clip film quiz. It's the worst we've ever done. Here we go.
It's lovely. That's Audrey Hepburn.
That is.
And I said Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Correct.
Wow.
Well done, Kira.
Wow.
Wowie.
One last attempt and I got it. I clinched the title.
Congratulations.
I won.
With 1 out of 5.
The Oscar goes to me.
Okay, well, congratulations, Kira.
Thank you.
That is not a film quiz for either of us to be proud of, but a win is a win. So well done, I guess. Jesus.
We do have the tiebreaker.
Let's listen to the tiebreaker anyway. Let's listen to what would have been had we needed a tiebreaker. So we would have had to have the first one in here.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The Color of Money.
I work out to this.
Dallas Buyers Club.
No. You know the song though, yeah?
No.
You don't know this song?
What is this, Brian?
Wait for it, just wait
Brian
for it.
Brian lives in a different world to the
world. Yeah, so too.
Yeah.
Come on.
YMCA. Film.
You're on the right track, though. It's been in loads of stuff, though.
The Sexy Homoerotic Men.
You're kind of on the right track, actually.
Yeah. Shaft.
Yeah.
Is it Shaft?
No, it's not Shaft.
What is it? Hold on, wait. Apparently it's kicking in now. Is it Brian?
Here we go. Yeah, there we go. Think Bodybuilder.
Pumping Iron.
No.
You're
on the right track.
Magic Mike.
No.
Rocky.
No.
Bodybuilder.
Yeah. You're
Lou Ferrigno.
No. Fine, it was in Terminator 3.
Oh, Arnie, because he was in Terminator 3.
Because he was in a bodybuilder.
Macho man. I've got to be a macho. Yeah. Me and Brian do actually work out all the time.
Yeah, I spot him.
Yeah, and like we're really sweaty, and sometimes and if he's spotting me, like his sweat drips onto my forehead or like my face.
It's all like, hey, gotta spot you, bro.
Yeah, and we spot each other, and we're squatting 100 kilos 20 times.
Sure.
That happened, Q.
That totally happened.
Sure, yeah. It did. Like
that happened all day.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well, look, Brian, Mr. Macho Man. Macho Man Brian M. Lloyd, not Macho Man Randy Savage. Macho Man Brian M. Lloyd is in with us.
I actually have the same birthday as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Do you? That's no coincidence.
That's
Brian.
That's no coincidence.
Because you're also a macho man.
I am a macho man.
What star sign are you?
Scorpio.
Oh yeah, they're all macho men.
Yeah,
that's true. It's true. Well, look, Brian, thank you as always for coming in.
Thank you.
Your Twitter is at Brian M. Lloyd, at Brian M. Lloyd, of course. You are the film editor with entertainment.ie, so we can follow you going on there as well and seeing everything that's going on in the film world. Brian, Macho Man, thank you as always for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's a macho man. Macho is man. He never gets
grand. Hey, what the fuck is this? Hey, macho man. What the fuck is this?
Chris and Kira on 2FM.
Yeah. There we go. A little bit of Tove Lo, talking body here on 2FM. Right, evening, everybody. 11:05. Tell you, it's been a quick hour so far. I mean, the evening's getting away from us. I really hope we get to everything we're supposed to get
to. I'm sure we will.
Jesus, you never know. I mean, you never know. But then again, we do usually manage, don't we?
Yes, Chris.
They call us the mailman because we always deliver. See what I did there? I thought that was funny. I thought that was great. See, to get out, call me the mailman because I always deliver.
No,
as in, because mailmen deliver mail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it again and use your canned laughter.
Oh, I should.
I don't know, Chris, will we get everything fitted into this show?
Oh, Kira, don't worry, we will. They call me the mailman because I always deliver. That did
there
work.
There we go. That was way better.
It was.
Okay.
Sorry. That clip is beside the laughs. The only reason is because that clip,
delete
I was
clip,
reminded
Chris.
Of it. Okay.
Don't play it again.
No, I won't. It's beside the laughs, you see. So...
Don't.
Also, weirdly beside your moan is this.
Fuck you.
What was that from?
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't know.
I wonder what we were using it for, but there you go. That's Arnie. Not too happy with things. But anyway, look, tell you what's going on. In just a second, we are going to be doing another thrilling installment of Kira's Diary. From Kira brings in one of her diaries from when she was a young lady trying to make sense of the world. She reads it to us. And quite frankly, it's absolutely brilliant. And also, as well as that, 51552, if you'd like to get in contact, if you'd like to say hello to us on the old internet as well. At @HateChrisGreen is my Twitter. At @HateChrisGreen, at @IamKiraKing is Kira's Twitter.
Give me an old follow on the Instagram as well.
Oh, apologies. Yes, Kira, what's your Instagram?
Instagram.com/KiraKing. Simple as that. I put up some wild wedding photos.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I'm trying to make it look like I have a really exciting life.
There are some pictures that look like they're from a magazine photo shoot. I have to say.
On mine?
Yeah, didn't you
really show
me one?
Did I?
And you're like all at a fireplace or something.
Oh, actually, yeah, that does look like something out of Tatler.
It does. It looks like a magazine. Yeah,
that was good fun.
So look, do follow Kira's Instagram as well. But how about this, all right? What we'll do is we'll play some Calvin Harris and Kelly's with Bounce.
Bounce.
Yeah. Then we will do another Kira's Diary. It'll be wonderful. We are about to do another thrilling installment of Kira's Diary. Now, you may wonder what Kira's... I mean, to say, Kira's Diary, what's that? I know this show's pretty happening, so this Kira's Diary thing must be pretty cool. Well, I'll tell you what it is. A few years ago... God, this was actually genuinely years ago at this stage. We were joking once, and somehow Kira's Diary came up. I have no idea how. I genuinely don't. I must go back to the first thing, how this actually happened. And we said, geez, we should bring in Kira's Diary and read it. And since then, I mean, the rest is history, as they say.
You know, Chris, I actually met somebody today and he said, oh, he goes, you're Kira from Chris and Kira. And I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, my mum is a massive fan of the TV. And I was like, okay, he's got the wrong Chris and Kira. Not a chance, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes to like a choir practice or music practice or something at night. So when she's driving home in the car, she listens to the two of us. And he goes, you're the girl that, you know, reads out her teenage diary. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, my mother thinks it's hilarious.
Wow.
And I was like, well, you can tell your mother now that you met the very well, sane individual that was, you know, the teenager that wrote Kira's Diaries.
You were trying to like emphasize to him that you're now a well-adjusted... Like,
well, yeah,
like,
make sure and tell your mum that I'm cool, yeah? Basically, that's what I try to say to him.
Did you get his mom's name?
No, I didn't, actually.
Well, that's... You missed out.
His name was David.
Well, hello, David's mother. You can give David's mom a big shout-out.
From Wexford.
Yeah, there you go. David's mom from Wexford who goes to choir practice. A big hello to you. Hey... Okay, how about this? Here's what's going to happen. Kira is going to read out one of her old diaries from when she was a young lady trying to make sense of this crazy and uncertain and confusing world that we live in. What?
It's still crazy, it's still uncertain, and it's still confusing, the world we live in.
Oh, it doesn't get any easier. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, this diary...
Sorry, I don't mean to put a dampener on all those hopeful people listening.
You see, this is Kira's life now.
But
so
not
like,
a lot has changed.
No, the diary doesn't have a happy ending, as you can see. I mean, look at us here.
I think I'm a bit more cynical now.
Yeah, probably. If you wrote Kira's diaries now, they'd probably be a lot less pleasant. There's a certain kind of fun naivety to them from back then. So, look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get you your melodramatic music, and I will just come over here like this. I'll turn my mic down. It'll be all up to you, Kira. And I say this every week. If at any point you become overwhelmed or... the emotion just kind of becomes too much for you. We'd all understand, because I know
Thanks,
that this
Chris.
Must be difficult to go back
well,
in time like this.
This is where I do something illegal.
Oh, shit. So. Oh, no. All right. Well, how about this? We get the music, and Kira, whenever you're ready, please take your time, because I know this is tough.
Dear Diary, I feel like crap. My tongue is sticking to the roof of my mouth, and my eyes are like what my Uncle Jim would call two piss holes in the snow. Writing is kind of difficult for me right now, as the words are kind of swirling all over the page.
Oh.
I'd imagine this is what it was like for Anne Frank, hidden in that annex awaiting being found by Hitler's forces.
Exactly.
For me and Anne Frank share something in common. I too think I may be arrested, as I've done something so illegal.
Oh shit.
I think my parents might have copped on to something as well. I made excuses to eagerly go to bed and muttered something like I was tired and needed to go and read the rest of my Babysitter's Club books, which in hindsight wasn't such a good idea, as I haven't read those books since I was 13 and I'm nearly sure my mother donated them all, against my wishes, may I add, to the local library. No wonder she gave me such weird looks. Oh man, they're so on to me, it's not even funny. Anyway, I better give you a recap of what went on tonight. Half of me is delirious with joy because I spent time with John and I think there were some seriously intense feelings between us. The other half of me thinks that I might be going to jail, and I'm pretty sure God may also be judging me right now too.
Oh no.
It all started after Rebecca and I had been over at our older sister's watching this amazing show called Sex and the City. Oh my God, it's like this totally amazing TV series which my mum won't let me watch, and it's about these four single women in New York who get up to all sorts of shenanigans and don't need men to be happy in life.
Yeah.
They even have sexual relations with men that they've only just met in a bar. They are like
so. Never do that, by the way.
Oh. They are like so liberated. Rebecca says that I am mostly like Charlotte, but with the drama that I sometimes go on with, she can see elements of Carrie in me. We both agree that Lucy is definitely Samantha in this situation. Anyway, we decided to go to the local shopping centre because Rebecca said she was sure that glitzy bits had necklaces with names on them like Carrie does in Sex and the City.
That's cool.
And we kind of figured the rest of the girls in school would think we were pretty trendy if we were arriving to school on Monday with these necklaces. So we headed off. As soon as we got to the shopping centre, who did we spot but John and a couple of the lads from school, including Johnny Limp, who Rebecca's gone steady with. John looked at me, and the only way I can describe it is if I was present when Moses parted the Red Sea for his people to pass through safely away from the Egyptian pharaoh trying to kill them. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That's quite a metaphor. Whoa. Quite an imagery. Yes.
We smiled at each other, and then the lads said they were going down to the river to hang out, so me and Rebecca went with them. We were down by the benches, and John sat beside me and was asking me did I know anything about joints. Did I know anything? I mean, hello. I was like the queen of joints in woodwork class. Oh, I started listening at how I could do a groove joint, a dovetail joint, a mortise and tenon joint. And then John started laughing and told me I was really funny. And then him and the lads started rolling some weird tobacco with some papers.
What?
And then asked me and Rebecca, did we have any cardboard to make a roach? Finally, I copped to what was going on. I was about to partake in something completely illegal,
wow,
which generations of teenagers before me had come through.
Hold on.
Peer pressure. Before I knew it, the joint was past my way. I looked at John, then I looked at Rebecca, then I looked back at John and thought to myself, if this gets me the shift, and if John will think I'm cool, so be it. I inhaled and started coughing and my eyes were stinging. John put his arm around me. I knew I had done the right thing. It was passed around a couple of times more. At this stage, me and John had shifted, and he'd even tried to go for some front boobage. But at that stage, something strange came over me. I felt like I was sinking through the floor. I went deathly pale, and I was sweating more than Rebecca does in PE class. Then I got really paranoid and thought everyone was laughing at me. But they were in fact just laughing at a rock that looked like Marge Simpson. The next thing I know, I'm getting sick into the river, and John is holding my hair back.
Oh no!
Rebecca told me afterwards that I pulled what's known as a whitey.
Oh,
John told me that I inhaled too much too soon. Rebecca walked me home after that. She was giving out about John, saying that he's such a crusty. I think that might mean a bit of a hippie. Oh, people and their stereotypes. Just because he's a vegetarian and likes to smoke weed doesn't mean he's a hippie. I didn't mention to Rebecca that before I got sick, John mentioned growing dreadlocks. So
wow.
Now I'm up in my room with my tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth. I'm pretty sure that the Gardaí are going to knock at the door and arrest me. My parents are going to ground me for life after this. And do you know who I blame for this? Carrie frickin' Bradshaw, her and her stupid necklace and horse-like features. But still, at least John and I shared such an emotional connection. It's love. It's like real, true love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I'm sleepy, dear diary. Love, Kira.
Do you know what I love about this diary?
Well,
it is happy, and it does have a happy ending. Because Kira completely changed herself and took drugs to please a man. So, I mean, isn't that a cool story? This is really sad. You're like the woman in the Ed Sheeran A-Team video.
Okay, Chris, I wouldn't go that far.
That's what it
was. A couple of jags of a joint on the next thing, yeah.
You're a crack whore.
Mm-hmm.
Kira, thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't you think that's normal enough?
No, I would like to think that people on Twitter know me at this stage and know that I would definitely not tweet something like that.
Okay, you did tweet it.
I didn't. I'm going to delete it.
In a moment of madness,
you tweeted it right now.
Very occasionally I get access to Kira. And what I would love is if one of the like Irish papers for some reason picked up on that. You know what I mean? 2FM presenter tweets nude black men while on air, you know? And then they'd be like, wow, what's going on there? You know? I just think that would be cool. But hey, it'll probably never happen. Oh, well. They probably know better.
I think so.
Yeah.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. You never know.
For my sake.
Right, how about this? I think it's time we got right down to some serious business. And I think it is time that we got this music, because I don't believe we can proceed until we get this music. So now that we have this music, I think we can proceed.
Okay,
so,
Chris.
Every week in this court that we have in here, we present issues and we give our judgment on them and we tell you how the world should be run. I think we're wasted in here. I think we should be, as I've said before, sitting on the High Court.
Okay, Chris, I think you're going to like this one.
Okay.
All right. There's a woman. Her name is Wednesday Martin. Interesting name.
Yes.
And she started studying the women of the Upper East Side in New York and Manhattan. Okay.
Okay.
Kind of as a sociological experiment, let's say. And she uncovered like a culture of powerful, well-educated women. You know, the type that dress really, really well at the school run, drop their kids off, hold these big, elaborate
kind
luncheons
of dinners
for the ladies,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The husbands of these women.
High society women.
Yeah,
kind
the
of
husbands
thing. Yeah,
of
yeah.
these women, they run hedge funds and private equity firms. They're the breadwinners of the house, okay?
Okay.
So the women did not work outside the home, but instead spent a lot of time working out and doing intensive mothering or managing the children's educations to ensure they got into the best schools.
Sure, fair enough.
Probably going to a lot of expensive lunches with the boards of management and stuff like that of particular schools.
Making
anyway.
Sure their little darlings get into the best preschools and primary schools and all this. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, totally.
So these women, Chris,
yeah.
are getting bonuses from their husbands for good housekeeping. This is what Wednesday Martin uncovered.
Okay, so these high society women get, I guess you could say, probably money. Good behavior reward, so to speak,
yep.
if they do things like clean the house.
But Chris.
Yeah.
Okay, it is not an uncommon practice of a bonus outlined in a prenup or a postnup, right?
Wow. So as in these, when they get married, are written into the, like...
Yeah, these are disputed
the
not only
contracts.
On how well a husband's fund has done, but on a wife's own performance.
Wow.
And this will include how well she managed the home budget and whether the kids had got into a good school or not.
All right. Plus, I think fair enough. If you take on a job, right? If you, because that is a job. Let's be realistic. I mean, that is a job in itself.
Well, it is.
You should be measured on your performance.
But it's a marriage.
But I mean,
children aren't a business.
No, but marriage is a business. Marriage
a
is
form,
a contract.
It's a form of a business, Chris.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think you should be accountable in your business, if you understand me. I think that...
Oh, I understand that, right? But I think
should
you should be
performance reviews.
You should be accountable to how you treat the other person.
That too,
not
of
how
course.
You run a household or get your kid into an exclusive school.
That's your job, though. Like, if you're this woman...
How is it your job to get your kid into an exclusive school? Surely
you,
you'd want that for the welfare of your child anyway.
Yeah, but
if you have
in,
the money.
If you're the wife, it is kind of your job in these societies,
why
in these high
this?
Society New York things. You have dinner with the principal's wife and, you know, you're like, oh, we'd love if little Jeremy got into the school and, you know, and you do that. I mean, let's be realistic. It is a business. And
so
raising kids is a business.
You would tell me that you would pay a bonus to a woman who, sorry, your wife, who got your child into a good school.
Sure. If she cleaned the house as well, though. Because I believe that's also in there, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And
this
I'm
seems
sorry,
fair
there's
enough
no way
to me.
That woman is cleaning the house. If they have enough money for that, well, then they have people cleaning their house for them.
Let's put it this way. She's responsible for the house being clean. Do you see what I'm saying?
But why should she be responsible for the house being clean?
Because he's out working all day. What's he supposed to do? Clean the house when he comes home?
A little bit of compromise would go a long way.
Well, what? Is she going to manage
that
the head funds occasionally?
These marriages sound to me like business contracts.
That's
and
what
I
marriage
know you say,
is, though.
Yeah, but it's more than that, Chris.
It's a business contract. It has certain kind of criteria.
And don't get me wrong, I think that a marriage contract works in a lot of ways. You sign a contract and you say, right, I'm going to love you for the rest of my days. I'm going to try and be the best person that I possibly can. I'm going to try and raise our potential children to the best of my ability. But this takes all the love out of it.
Sure. Well, to be honest with you, these marriages
and
probably
I don't know, call me old-fashioned, right?
Yeah.
But I still would like to believe that two people get married for love, not marry into a business contract.
These marriages don't sound particularly love-filled, do they?
Like, no, they don't.
They sound like they're quite stark kind of admissions.
If I was married to a man and he told me, go on, Kira, here's an extra 500 euro now to go blow on yourself after doing such a good job of hoovering the house, I'd be like, you know what, you can shove that 500 euro.
No, you wouldn't. You'd take
yes,
the 500.
Yes, I would.
You'd be straight into the shops. be like, well, great. I've earned this 500. That's what you'd be like. You'd bring up the girls and you'd go
there's
shopping.
Absolutely no equality in those marriages from what I can see.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing. So the guys marry the hedge funds and have the bank jobs and do all of that kind of stuff. So they take care of the money. And I guess what they're saying is, so if I'm doing this, can you make sure the kid gets into a good school? Can you make sure the house is cleaned? I'm sure they hire cleaners. Can you just take care of that? Can you make sure that we're in good standing socially? Can you organize these events? Like, that seems like compromise. Because, for example, I don't see the wife going and managing the hedge fund 2 days a week. Mm. That is compromise.
I guess it's compromise in that world that they live in.
Yeah.
But it's a completely unnatural way in so many ways, do you know?
Is it though? Like, this is kind of what man has been doing for thousands of years. He's like, I have something you want. You have something I want. Let's get together. That's all marriages used to be. Marriages was basically a set of rules and regulations for the relationship between two people. And don't get me wrong, this is quite cynical. This is quite unpleasant for a lot of people. But I agree with it.
But it's like those characters that used to be in Sex and the City.
What do you mean?
You know, those ladies that went out to lunch, those ladies that just went in and bought a load of Chanel clothes.
The high society ladies.
The high society
absolutely.
Ladies. Absolutely. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, right?
I get it. Marriage contracts, they do work between, you know, certain individuals. That's fine. But it's just an awful way to live, I think. Because it sounds really loveless.
Well, here's how I look at it. And I do agree with you. But hear me out here. And if you don't agree, believe me, I'd understand too. But supposing you're one of these high society men, so you're responsible for the money and the, you know, you're managing these hedge funds and you make probably a few million a year minimum and blah blah blah. I would want the wife pulling her weight, if you get me. Like, I wouldn't want to come home to a filthy house if I was one of those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but sure, no man should want to come home to a filthy house.
That's what I'm saying.
And no woman should want to come home to a filthy house.
So, girl, if I'm out earning the money, you take care of the house. You know?
But why is it these women aren't working as well, though?
That's a good point.
Do you know?
That's a good point. Maybe they should be working. And if they want to go and work,
then
I see what you mean.
Probably be more equal.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
That is just my opinion on this. I just think it's crazy that women are getting bonuses from their husbands for doing something that should be pretty natural anyway, when you get married.
I would like to be one of these women, but in reverse, if you get me. So I would love a woman who was like a multimillionaire, and I was like, oh, look, I'll just clean the house, and you know, I'll just hang out, and I'll make sure everything is grand. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I'd be fine with that.
Pity the woman you marry.
Yeah, well, look. Now, she will have a cat. She will have me. And I'll just go to the gym all day and make sure I'm in shape, and, you know, it'll be great.
Just sit there and look pretty.
More or less. Jesus, I would love to be able to go through life doing that. It's a privilege I will never have, but oh God, it would be wonderful. But anyway, there you go. I guess Kira and I do differ quite substantially on this. I'll see you in court, Kira. Yee. Want to get to some of the reasons as to what it is you're doing awake. Someone says, listening to you guys while getting ready to leave for my J1 in the USA. Great show, guys.
Jealous.
Well, thank you.
Where are you going?
You don't have any criminal convictions for murder or anything, do you?
No, but this is not me. Sorry, the person that you're
talking
to.
No, I know. I'm Dame. I know. Yeah. That's
but it's
I'm
a perfect opportunity for me to tell everyone about the time that I went on a J1
this is
to Chicago
episode,
in 2006.
Mm-hmm. Well, go for it, Kira. What happened?
The time of my life. And yes. It was amazing. I even got a trip into New York. I went to Florida for a week. And I worked in an Irish bar called the Galway Arms over in Chicago.
Cool.
Chris doesn't like me talking about that story because basically I talked about that story a lot in the past 6-7 years that we've worked together.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know.
Have a great time.
Yeah, do. Absolutely. Yeah. Someone says, Niamh says, hey guys, working the night shift in Westmeath, that's why I'm awake. I really enjoy the show apart from that dick, the Galway player. He makes me want to harm myself.
Okay.
Oh, Niamh.
Ah, well, don't be doing that now,
yeah,
Niamh, in fairness.
That's very dramatic.
Don't let him get the better of you.
Ah, yeah. Don't let the guy play. Jeez, I don't think he'd be
He's
happy
not
to hear
worth
that.
It.
No, I don't think he'd be happy to hear that at all. Well, look, someone says, I'm away because I want to wish my fiancé, Porik, a very happy day. I love you loads. Roll on the celebrations and our wedding.
Mm.
I always laugh at those messages because I know
Why?
That because I know that when I was younger, what we used to always do was send in text to radio stations with that, but like to embarrass people.
I know, and I hear you, and I did it myself. But I like to think that that woman is genuinely texting in about her future husband.
Yeah, I like how you give them the benefit of the doubt, you know. Someone says, I'm up making bottles for tomorrow and catching up on jobs around the house before another hectic day begins. We'll hopefully be in bed within the hour and get up again at 7. The joys of being a mom to 3 amazing kids. Oh man, whenever I read texts like that, I get so stressed out. Like even on your behalf, I'm like, if I had to do that, even for a day, I'd probably collapse. Mm. You know what I mean? Oh, Lord.
Somebody says, please say hello to Helen and Stephen. They're from Kildare and they're having a fantastic time exploring the wonderful county of Kerry.
There you go.
It's a gorgeous county, in fairness.
Sorry, I'm laughing at another text.
Meg's text.
Yeah. Meg, I like this text. I'm going to share it with the world. It says, hey, I'm awake writing Chris Green and Brian M. Lloyd fan fiction. I can't tell if Chris is a top or a bottom. I'd say top, but I want to know from the man himself. Well, Meg, in that situation, yeah, I would want to be the top. Absolutely. And I'd say Brian would be open to being the bottom, you know?
Oh, he definitely would.
Yeah, he'd be like, okay, we'd have a relationship of compromise.
Mm.
So, Meg, I would be the top. Thank you.
Thank you for clearing that up, Chris.
I would love to see that fan fiction. Meg, how are you going to get the fan fiction to me? Because I would love to read it. Thank you.
Anne in Clondalkin is trying on her summer clothes. She figured she couldn't wait for the weather.
Yeah, and it might not be here for a while.
Like that's
Anne,
fair enough.
Anne in Clondalkin, you might as well try on the summer clothes. You might as well just get to it now. The summer might not be coming.
When I was out for a run yesterday, okay?
Yeah.
It was sunny.
Yeah.
Then it started raining.
Sure.
And then we got a ferocious shower of hailstones. So, Anne,
yeah.
I wouldn't be getting too excited just yet.
I don't mean to be melodramatic, but do you remember in the Shawshank Redemption the phrase, get busy living or get busy dying?
Mm.
I don't think the sun is on its way, you know? I think we just need to get busy
living.
With our summer clothes. Yeah, exactly. So, Anne, I'm all for you doing that.
Richard says, well, seeing as you asked, I'm up chipping off the old glue and sanding down my surfboard so I can restick the tail pad for maybe a surf tomorrow. I'm desperate and hopeful. I'm starved of waves this past month or so. P.S. I love the show. And that's Richard, and he's living in Gwydor.
Well, thank you, Richard.
Great old parts of the country,
yeah,
Gwydor.
Yeah, very nice of you to say that as well. It is. It's lovely. It's absolutely beautiful.
I wish I was into surfing, and I come from like a coastal area.
There's not good surf where we're from, though.
Do you know what? There was one surfboard left back at the beach, right? And miraculously, it stayed there every single summer. And all the local kids used to go back to the beach each summer. And we used to use that one surfboard.
For real?
There used to be like 5 of us on it, yeah.
Wow.
Mm. It was there every year. Nobody ever took it away.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
So like you literally had a community surfboard.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually really cool testament to the fact that everyone just left it there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool.
But I'd love to be one of those cool girls, you know, that wear like Roxy clothes and go surfing and look cool.
And wear like vests that are too loose.
I did
and
go
like
paddleboarding. Yeah, I used to go paddleboarding. I went paddleboarding once when I was about maybe 16 or 17 with these guys that I thought were hot. And we were in a very kind of very wavy area. And I remember getting on the paddleboard and I came up, but my bikini had slipped down below my boobs.
Yeah. Mm. Paddleboarding's not nearly as cool though, if you don't mind me saying.
I know what you mean. Like, I know what you mean.
Paddleboarding. That's like riding a bike with the stabilizers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Someone says, en route back to Belfast after a 3-hour round trip to pick up the car from the garage. Yes. Well, look, at least you're on the way back. Also, Colm says, I'm trying to find an English-speaking Polish radio station to whom I can speak to about our cultural differences. Well, I speak some Polish, so maybe that could help. I know how to say Dobry Noc. Me and Kira learned that.
Yes.
And I know Jestem Chris, which is, I think my name is Chris. Oh, and Pracuje za 2FM. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. This is rough.
What?
Tom says, I'm awake filling out my statement of means for my divorce.
Oh.
I love it. It is so much fun.
Tom, sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear that, Tom.
That doesn't sound like any fun at all. Unless you actually mean that seriously, Tom, in that you're happy to be getting out of it and that you're just so happy to be filling out the thing because it means the divorce is happening. But, you know, either way, that doesn't sound like fun. 51552, share with us what it is you're doing awake. I would love to know what it is you're doing awake at this ridiculous hour.
Don and Emma are pulling an all-nighter. They're still doing their sketchbooks for final year and Lizzie is gone to bed.
Oh.
I bet you Lizzie's sorted though. And Don and Emma probably left it to the last minute.
Yeah, Lizzie's like, I did this 4 weeks ago. And Don and Emma are
doing
it
now. And I told you Egypt to do
yeah,
it too.
Yeah, exactly. And Lizzie's probably being so high and mighty about it as well. And they're sick of Lizzie and they're plotting to kill her.
Okay, Chris, you didn't need to take the story to that level.
Hey, let's get to as many of the Why Are You Awakes as we can, actually, because there's loads. We will try and get to as many as possible. Someone says, I'm driving along half asleep. Then Kira says something about exposing her boobs and suddenly I'm wide awake. No need for any more Red Bull, Patty in Wexford. Kira, you're a total right! Wow. That was a really full-on message, wasn't it? Like, especially the last line. Like, you could have almost just left it at Paddy and Wexford. Kira, you're total right!
Hey, I'm not complaining.
Paddy's number is 087.
Okay, Chris, don't read it out on here.
I just thought you might like to know. I was giving it to you now.
Oh, no, Chris.
Oh.
Somebody says... Hi, Chris and Kira. My name is Mary from Cork. I can't sleep because I'm in love with a married man and I can't get him out of my head. I was with him for a couple of times and it was great. I'm 24 hours talking about him.
Oh, Mary, that is not the way to be.
No.
Oh, dear. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand the expression, the heart can't, you know, you can't help who you fall in love with and the heart wants what it wants and all that. But a married man, that probably isn't going to end well, Mary, if you don't mind me saying.
The man's married, the man's married.
And, you know, Kira and I used to chase married men all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work out.
It doesn't.
You know, it doesn't at all. But look, Alice in Westport says, I'm awake because I finished my undergrad today after a 9-hour exam. Finally have my freedom again. GMIT Mayo rocks. And there you go.
Well done, Alice.
That's what Alice in Westport's saying. Yeah, I've often noticed sometimes like the regional campuses don't get as much love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like GMIT will get loads of love, but GMIT Mayo won't get as much love. So absolutely.
We should start sending our love to everybody in the GMIT in Mayo.
Yeah. And to all the kind of satellite campuses of places. But anyway, Colm says, hi to all night patrollers. I'm up checking lights. Well, there you go. That's what Colm is doing. Also, the railway boys say, tell Bobby we love him from all the boys in the van. Billy, Ken and Paddy.
Oh, there you go. Guys.
You guys have such a wonderful bromance going on there. Absolutely. Someone says, I'm awake out listening to the river and looking at the stars. That actually sounds really nice. I think you should turn us off. Because like that sounds like a really...
We must be interfering with you.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to interfere. No, I didn't get...
No, okay. You didn't say it. Thank God. Yeah.
Damn it. Kira almost said we must be interfering with you, but I didn't quite get it because I interrupted, so we can't use that clip now. That's the problem.
Somebody has texted and say, I'm working in Manon Bay in Ballachneely. Call in someday, Kira, when you're home. Maybe I will. You should leave a name, though.
Do you know that guy?
Well, I don't know. No one has left a name, so.
Interesting. Be the Trucker says, I'm awake, which is handy because I'm driving a truck.
It's always good to be awake while driving a truck.
Yeah, Be the Trucker, I suppose that is handy. That is convenient. That is fortuitous that you happen to be awake as you're driving a truck. That is a great stroke of luck. You're dead right. Someone says, did I get to this one from... Tom, I did actually. Sorry. I know I had it marked to read out, but it's all right. I read it because poor Tom filling out his divorce. Also, someone takes it in to say, I'd say you could get any man you wanted, Chris. Well, thank you. You know, I've never tried...
So ironic.
I've never tried, but maybe I could.
Oh, you know, yes. And of course, people are texting in different lakes, Chris, where you can go and strip naked and look at the moon.
Oh, I definitely will. I'll go there right now. You know, a gay co-worker of ours told me I was very handsome here.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Look at you.
I was very handsome.
David Beckham over there.
I'm turning men onto me. Women already love it. I tell you, doing it all. But he said, Kira, I was very handsome. So there you go. Do you know which one it was?
No.
Could you have a guess?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you so, like, later.
Okay, you're obviously very proud, so...
I am!
I don't care who said it to, so...
He didn't say it to you. He didn't say about you at all.
Okay.
He said it about me.
God, it's such a sad state of affairs when I can't get a man, but Chris can.
I think like,
do you know what I mean? Is that what my life is coming to now? Like, not happy enough with women. You know, now gay men are telling Chris that, you know, he's handsome.
Yeah.
It's like, all about you.
I don't even think, like, I'm not gay, but I think
like
I'll
Jay-Z.
Do him. Yeah, I think I might just do him anyway. Just, you know, for the sake of it, really.
You do it to spite me. That's what you do.
Yeah, I definitely
like, hey, Kira, I got a man last night and you didn't.
I would.
I know you would.
Also, someone points out, how can all these people who are awake text while driving? Well, I hope they pull in and text and then pull back out again.
Obviously.
That's what I'd imagine they do. I'd imagine they pull in, they put up, you know, those little temporary triangles that a lot of people have in their boots.
Mm-hmm.
They put up one of those near the car. They put on their hazard lights. They put on a high-vis vest. They text and then they pack all that up and drive again. That's what I'd imagine is happening. I'd imagine they're being very safe.
Mm. Chris, Anne in Clondalkin has texted in to say, for the lady pining after the married man, we got a text just there into the show, I was involved with one for nearly 15 years. No matter how much they tell you they love you, they are not yours. Stop now if you can.
That's dead right, though. I mean, they're not, you're, no matter how you look at it, and I swear I don't mean this in a mean way to the person who texted in, and not to use some kind of slang or whatever, but you're the side chick. That's what you are.
You should be the main chick.
Yeah, you're the side chick. You're the girl that he hangs out with when he wants the ride and a bit of fun and a bit of fantasy. Then he goes home to the wife, pays, you know, whatever, you know, looks after the kids and, you know, doesn't think about you and hides her, you know, his phone and texts from you. You know what I mean? You're the side girl. And I think everyone deserves better than being the side chick.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So there you go, Anakin Duck. Very well said.
We have to give a big shout out to Florin. He's driving a truck from Dublin to Cork and he has a very bad tooth pain, but he's enjoying the show and listening to our sexy voices, which makes him forget about the pain from time to time. He says, I wish a nice and easy night to all truck drivers.
Yeah, me too. Because, you know, truck drivers, we obviously have a lot here listening. And it's a hard, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it can be as when you're awake for those hours on end. And oh, man. So look.
Staring at monotonous motorways.
Oh, I love the motorways. Oh, don't get me wrong. No. The motorways are awesome. The motorways are the best part of driving.
I wish that I was able to click on the snore button from over here.
Okay. I'll start talking about motorways and we will do that. I genuinely really do love motorways. And I've always liked them since I was a kid. I just have a fascination with them. That said, though, being a trucker ain't easy, so. Even if you do get to be on motorways all the time. Hello? Is anyone still listening? Or. Oh, I think everyone's gone. I don't think anyone's listening anymore. Oh, no. All right. Well, look, how about we get a review of the show really quickly before we get out of here? Every evening we finish off the show with the national anthem and with a review of the show from Kira. I would ask now if you that you could stand if it's safe to do so, please. Not for the national anthem, but for the review of the show that Kira is about to give. Thank you.
Chris, where we started the show with Mr. Brian M. Lloyd, who's on talking movies, specifically Tomorrowland, the new one with George Clooney, and playing the movie quiz, which I won just about. We were really bad this week. Kira's diary tonight involved teenage Kira doing something illegal and thinking she'll be arrested. Our moral dilemma tonight involved wives in Manhattan being paid bonuses for good housekeeping by their husbands. We debated whether it was wrong or right. Chris's snooze tonight featured some Bruce Springsteen's Secret Garden and Seal's epic Kiss from a Rose. And then, of course, we finished the show asking the wonderful Irish public out there what it is they're doing awake.
Well, that sounds like an incredible show. For myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye.
What the fuck is this?
Oh, I'm fully erect.
Kira. 2FM.